The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Hello.
Hello there.
Welcome.
Welcome again.
Welcome again.
To our humble show.
Yes. So this show is airing on Friday, October 21st, but it is a week early for Elvira and I because we're pre-recording this show, and we just recorded the show on chalices. So it's an interesting day. A little confusing because it's Thursday and not Friday, and it's the morning and not the evening. So I'm really confused.
Trust me, I'm right there with you. I'm hoping that the light turns on and all goes well again.
But we're going on here with our second show pre-recorded so that our loyal and lovely listeners don't miss any fabulous and amazing conversations between me and Elvira.
Especially because this one is a little charged.
Yes, actually, this one is more than a little charged, I would say.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, preparing for today's show, which is on fakes, charlatans, liars, and what to be wary of in metaphysical space, I got in a couple of arguments.
Not with me, though.
No, with other people just talking about this very hot-button topic. So it'll be interesting to see not only how the conversation goes between me and Elvira, but how conversations go moving forward.
Yes. From the show. And what people will, it's about opening doors and saying, look at what's inside and be careful of what's inside.
Yeah.
And, you know, take your time. We tend to all get excited and feel the spirit is moving us and we go in the direction wherever that leads us. And sometimes, like the tarot card, the Fool, we're on a cliff.
Yeah, and we don't know.
And we don't know.
You can't know what you don't know.
Right.
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 Do you want to do a little check-in? I know that might be weird, but
we could always do a check-in. I'm always a check-inable person.
Yeah. Well, I just realized that I had a meeting last night for the Samhain planning, because I'm part of the North Bay Reclaiming Group that puts on public rituals. And we had our second Samhain planning last night. And I just remembered this morning that there was a meeting last night. I didn't go to it. I totally forgot.
Oh, dear.
I just got in my zone after work and drove home and started getting dinner and preparing for my evening. Totally missed my meeting. So hopefully Samhain planning is going good.
And that you are forgiven once you get back in.
Yeah. The North Bay Reclaiming Samhain ritual, for those who may be local or curious about such things, is on Friday, October 21st. The doors open at 6:30. The ritual starts at 7. And it is at the Grange Hall in Sebastopol. And it is one of our larger rituals. And it's my favorite, one of my favorite rituals of the year. It's, you know, top two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be beautiful. I'm very excited. This year we're working with the Norse underworld goddess Hela.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Spooky.
Yes. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds really exciting. And, of course, following that wonderful evening that you will be doing,
mm-hmm.
we will have the afternoon and evening at the Muir Tea House,
mm-hmm.
which I hear is sold out with, you know, standing room only, I guess.
Sold out with a waiting list 20 deep.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so that's fabulous news. And the people on the waiting list are like, can't you do a second night? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that sounds like a good idea if my calendar had any room on it.
Sure. Yeah, that's the other part.
Maybe next year.
This particular time frame, we are, we are getting ready for our new year and our celebrations. And sometimes they're public, sometimes they're private, sometimes
they're both.
And I know that my stepdaughter actually is one of the people on the waiting list.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I know we're going to have a wonderful time, and we're going to be doing tea leaf readings and tarot readings, and then, of course,
eating delicious foods.
And then once we're all ready for it, we get to do a seance.
Right.
I know. This is going to be interesting.
Yes. Christine and I, who is the owner of Mirror Tea House, we have our final little go-through on Friday, and we will be, which is tomorrow, and we will be going over all of the details and the final logistics. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, and so that's why, again, this time frame is so busy.
Yes.
So, and my check-in is mostly just more of the same, just feeling that as we get through this particular recording and show and prepare for the festivals and the mm-hmm. good times that we're going to be having, it's exciting, it's frustrating, it's, you know, overwhelming.
Yes.
But happy, joy. So, but obviously it's party time.
Yes.
It is party time.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
speaking of partying.
Yes. Let us get on to the charge.
Yes. So there. I feel like we're probably going to break this conversation into chunks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's fakes and charlatans from a reader, root worker, priestess for hire type of energetic,
right?
Which Elvira and I are both members of AIR, which is the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. So we, in order to belong to that membership, we have to be held at certain standards.
Right.
And our skills are tested in order to mm-hmm. become a member of that organization. And the AIR website is actually great for information. So if mm-hmm. you, rootworker.org, rootworker.com, something like that.
Readersandrootworkers.org.
Yeah.
All so lowercase.
Amazing information. And some of it we're actually going to talk about today, the information that Catherine Ironwood has put together. And other members of AIR, but really, I mean, this is Catherine Ironwood's baby,
mm-hmm.
and she's done an amazing job in making information available, and not just, here's how you get a reading, and love, and uncrossing, but no, there are people out there who are looking to take advantage of you,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
here is how to spot them, and here is how to avoid them, and here are some questions you should be asking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one side of it, and then another side of it is looking for people who are scammers or fakes or abusers
mm-hmm.
in the pagan world, more from a leadership standpoint. Because unfortunately, just like any community, any religion, any group, there are people who are looking to take advantage of unsuspecting young people, unsuspecting newbies, folks who just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So Elvira and I hope to open the door and shed some light on the cobwebs of this potentially tricky conversation.
Exactly.
There are all kinds of feels on this.
Yes, and feelings about it. And I think, where would you like to start, my dear?
Well, I think it would be great to start with some of the information from AIR.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, here, let's take a step backwards for a second so that we're all on the same page with these terms that we're using.
Yes.
So Elvira and I, on top of being witches and pagans, are root workers and spellcasters, mm-hmm. right? Another way to phrase it. So people give us money for readings, and we most often, I think, tarot readings. We both do other things, but tarot is most often.
Mm-hmm.
And people give us money to do spell work on their behalf.
Right.
And there's lots of reasons why. That's a whole other conversation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is we take money for services.
Exactly.
And any time you are exchanging money, there is potential for people to be full of crap, to lie to you, or to say they're doing something for you when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So AIR is really dedicated to making sure that doesn't happen, and that you have resources to avoid being ripped off,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It sucks being ripped off in any situation. But I think it's even worse when it's in a spiritual context, because you are putting a belief into something.
And a need.
Yeah. And to have someone take advantage of that, it can be damaging.
Very much so. And you learned, you know, the old saying is about being aware of what you're getting and a pig and a poke and all these wonderful little things. It's it then just sort of makes people feel more stupid and
right.
they should have known and all these things. And what it is there's just a lot of people out there that do disreputable things.
Right. Right. And one of the most common services that spellcasters, both from a root work perspective,
uh-huh.
and when I'm using the word root work, what I'm referring to is African American folk magic. Now, Elvira and I are, neither of us are African American.
True.
But we have a background in this folk system, this magical system, and we have a background in paganism. And, you know, contrary to what some folks feel, there is a lot of blend.
Yes.
The two systems do go hand in hand quite well. And there's some differences, but there's more similarities
exactly.
than differences. So coming into root work, for me at least, I came from paganism, and it all made sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a few different ways of approaching things, but for the most part, I was like, oh, yeah, this is magic.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's exactly the feeling. It's a similar, definitely it has bases that they are able to connect with.
Right. Right. So one of the simplest ways that people can take advantage of you is to say, I'll do that magic for you, give me your money, and then they don't do anything but take your money and spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
That's a really hard thing to prove,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's a service that is happening that you don't get to see, you won't be privy to.
Mm-hmm.
I often send photos to my clients of the work that I've done for them, but even that could be a photo, and what some of these scammers do is steal photos from other workers. Like, I have photos on my website of work that I've done. It's not going to be hard for someone else to go to my website
sure.
and say, oh, no, that's mine. Hey, look what this spell I did for you.
Right.
Right? So
right.
you have to ask questions, and you have to be willing to, just like any other situation or any other service, you have to be willing to do some research and
mm-hmm.
make sure that the person that you're working with is reputable.
Right.
Don't just trust a picture on the Internet.
No, which is another part of the same, you know, the same principle of why you go to a doctor and you go to two different doctors. We get people that do come to us who have gone to someone else, and they're checking on the validity. So
mm-hmm.
as much as I know that my work will be checked on,
right,
is that it's because you're and we a lot of times will suggest other people to go to
yeah.
when we know that the situation is needful
right.
for a specialist.
Right, right.
And that's why AIR has been a really excellent resource
mm-hmm.
for people coming in and for the people who are in it.
Right. And for me, and I know because I've heard Elvira talk to her clients many times, because we did work in the same church for several years.
Yes.
But often our first suggestion is, here's how you can do this work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here's how you can do this spell. Here's how you can burn this candle. Here's how you can make this honey jar or whatever the situation may be. Sadly, there are many people who don't believe that they possess the power, or they're
mm-hmm.
afraid that they'll do it wrong.
Right.
Or there's some other blockage that they don't feel that they can do it themselves. Or very simply, they live in an environment where they can't do spell work because
right.
someone would be able to see it.
Right.
Right. So that's where we come in, and I feel like I'm the second round, I'm
mm-hmm.
the second string, right? If the first person, the actual person who's looking for the work, can't do it for some reason,
mm-hmm.
that's when I step in. And if it's something I'm not skilled in or something I'm uncomfortable with or I don't have time to give my full energy to, I'll send them someplace else.
Right.
You know? And if someone's not suggesting other possibilities to you, if they're saying, oh, no, 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 I'm the only one that can do this for you, that's a red flag.
Mm-hmm. The other red flag is, I guarantee it
Absolutely.
Will work.
Absolutely.
You know, I guarantee you will get that job. I guarantee that lover will come back to you if I do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you give me da-da-da-da-da amount of money.
Right.
That is, magic is a not available to be guaranteed process, and it's, you know, not like you have a television and it stops working and you take your guarantee and warranty and go, hey, I need a new one.
Please fix it.
Please fix it.
No, and what you find more often than not with these folks who offer a guarantee is, okay, they first of all, they often charge a ridiculous amount of money, right? I guarantee it, and all it's going to cost you is $1,000. And then after the time frame goes by that they've offered their guarantee and this thing hasn't manifested, oh, well, there was this blockage, and I need an additional $1,000 to break through that blockage, and then the guarantee is still good, right?
Uh-huh.
So there's always a but.
A hook.
Yeah.
Another hook.
Yeah.
And this is in root work, in spell casting, in readings, in all the different things that go on. And for the sake of what we try to do, at least both Phoenix and I, is we try to limit what is actually being put together and do it in increments. And we definitely feel that we have resources that we are able to say we can send people to.
Right.
We will, you know, talk to the resources so that they have a knowledge, you know. But like every one of us, we always want a consultation because just like any doctor, we go in, we have to fill out paperwork, even though they've got all our records or we're holding all our records, you know. Because we connect with you as a person. We try to connect,
right.
And that's how we do it, so we can feel what's going to need to be done, not just some kind of prescription. You have this, so we'll offer this, and this.
Right, right.
Fix it.
Every situation's unique.
Right.
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 And it's also a reputable spellcaster because, you know, we're referring to root work because that's a lot of the clients we get are looking for root work.
Uh-huh.
But spellcasters, they're out there.
Oh, yes.
You can find someone who's going to cast spells for you from 100 different traditions.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Right? And I feel the reputable spellcaster is one who will go, you know what, I can help you, but I already have too many clients right now, or I'm already at my limit, and I can't give my full to this next thing.
Right.
You know, and that's not always going to happen. It ebbs and flows. You know, sometimes I'm like, okay, I can't do another honey jar. I'm at my limit right now. And other times I have no honey jars.
Uh-huh.
You know, it ebbs and flows.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you want to make sure that someone's not just always saying yes.
Exactly.
If someone is always saying yes, if every reading is positive, if every reading is, oh, yeah, he's returning tomorrow, that's a red flag.
Uh-huh.
And there's lots of red flags.
It's true.
Because we're working with magic and we're working with energy and we're working with things that don't have tangible answers.
Uh-huh.
And those answers are sandy and slippery and they don't always make sense, and they don't always come out in a perfect timeline, and they don't always manifest in the way that we think they're going to.
Right, right.
It's a messy system. Magic is messy.
Right, and as I can tell you right now, since we have the trash people coming to pick up right outside our door, where, you know, it's about taking out the trash as well.
Yeah.
You know, taking out the literal process so that you can not be caught with the crud, that you have questions you can ask. There are things to look for, not just testimonials. I mean, those are always wonderful to have them on our, you know, our websites and everything. But it's you know, if you feel you need to talk to certain people, I mean, I think there's a sense of feeling comfortable. This is just like, as we say, going to a doctor. It really is. You may be in need and hysterical before whatever you are going for.
Yeah.
But you still have to be comfortable.
It's a relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And unfortunately, folks who are scammers, and I'm not just talking about someone who's like, okay, yeah, give me $20 and I'll light your candle and then they disappear with your $20. I mean, that sucks, but whatever, you'll get over it.
Right.
But the real shady people out there will then sell your information to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might get an email from someone saying, I am a high priestess and I had a vision of you and here's this thing that you need to know and it's imperative that you reach out to me because the spirits told me blah, blah, blah. Well, they bought your information from another scam artist and now they're trying to screw you over for more money.
Right.
Any unsolicited email from someone saying they had a vision of you or they have imperative information for you should not be trusted.
Bingo. And I know that we talk with spirits, we talk with the spirit realm and our deities, be they pagan or they are the Christian or they are the Hindu, whatever it is that we are doing.
Yeah.
But there is a point where the word spirit told me.
Yes. The goddess made me do it.
It's one of those that makes people feel good that they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
I know whether it's in, as we're going to talk later, in more ritual work or it's in the readings and things. I know that I use sometimes that phrase, but I don't use it often because to me, if I really am getting something strong, I will, but most of it is the connection I'm feeling, so that's where I'm speaking from.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't try to personify it at this point because that is another one of those too many people use that to go ahead and make you feel this is real.
Right, or to excuse poor behavior, you know, which we'll come to again later in the show, but readers work in different ways. You may be using the tarot as a tool for your own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You may be talking to spirits. You may be downloading. You may be a medium, and you're speaking to a spirit or an energy. So messages may come through. So a reader may say to you, I'm getting a download, or I'm hearing this message, or this thing is coming through, or I'm hearing this thing that I don't quite understand. Like, that happens, absolutely. But if those messages are then followed up with, you are being cursed, or you only I can help you with this,
mm-hmm.
or I'm getting the spirits are guaranteeing this timeline. All of those things are red flags. Anything that is an absolute, anything that is a certainty, and anything that is a ridiculous amount of money should be taken as something to be concerned about.
Right.
And it may not be bullshit. Like, I don't want to make it seem like anyone who's saying, okay, well, I'm going to need money for that, is a liar. No, not at all. But take it with a grain of salt, approach with caution, and ask questions.
Right, right. One of the things I tend to say is, you know, they want to know, well, will this really happen? And I say, well, darling, if I guaranteed or I could be to that extent so accurate, I wouldn't be charging $60 an hour.
Right.
You know, certainly, because my accuracy would warrant that, but it doesn't mean that because somebody charges $1,000 an hour that they are that accurate.
Right.
It isn't the reverse either.
Right. Absolutely.
So there's a certain sense of this is a fluid medium.
Yeah.
It isn't, you know, it's a non-physical situation we are trying to box up and package into a physical realm.
Right. Right.
And that, I feel, is where it is tricky in the sense that you're trying to be honest and give the best possible process, information, and help. But, again, I liken it, and believe me, I am not a medical doctor proponent, but the medical profession has the same problem.
Right.
You know, there is a body, there are things that go into the situation, there are all kinds of internals, externals. You know, doing this thing cannot guarantee 100% they're going to walk away and live or whatever.
Right.
And people that have been told they're not going to live actually turn out and live for decades because of whatever is going on in their own system.
Yeah.
And mindset.
Right.
So.
Right. Every situation is unique.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So one of the things that Elvira and I, you know, we do our research for each show separately, and then we come together and we go, this is what I want to talk about, and this is what I want to talk about. And we both wanted to go through the questions from the AIR website about these are questions that you should ask a root worker or a reader to make sure that they're legit. And as we were going through these questions, we realized these questions could also be asked of a high priestess or a teacher of witchcraft or someone from the pagan community who may be offering workshops or classes.
Right.
Anyone who's offering some spiritual working, whether that's a workshop, a spell, or a reading, or whatever, and wanting money in exchange,
right,
should answer these questions without feeling offended.
Right.
People should be able and willing to give you background information about how they work and who they are without being offended. It's just due diligence.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So,
and you can find these on the AIR website, so feel free to look them up if you would like to have a copy of them.
Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, this particular setup is set for AIR members, and, you know, there's a code of ethics that is also part of the information that you can find. And because this is a group of people who take this process seriously, this is who they are, this is what they do, this is how they live their life in terms of what their beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sense of ethics, and it's that there is, you know, in this organization specifically, we have an ombudsman for disputes, but
right.
That is unusual when you're dealing on one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are options when that happens, but again, it is still your responsibility to ask questions, no
right.
matter how hysterical and frightened and,
right.
my husband used to say, out of sorts would be the situation. You need to be able to have certain criteria you're going to ask
right.
to judge whether this person is going to be viable for you.
Right. And that's the first question. Do you belong to a professional association that requires readers and root workers to abide by a code of ethics?
Mm-hmm.
Which, for AIR members, we do.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean someone who is not a member of an organization like this, it doesn't mean that they don't have a code of ethics or that they don't follow a specific read
mm-hmm.
or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is a part of a professional association, then you can actually read what they are saying that they do.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And, of course, the question, what kind of readings do you perform?
That seems pretty easy, right?
That's a simple, straightforward process.
Right. And if you were looking at this question in regards to a pagan teacher, it could be what kind of things do you teach? What kind of workshops do you teach? What kind of rituals do you perform?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly. And then, you know, which of the reading styles you use are most popular with your clients.
Mm-hmm.
That is another one of those, meaning it's knowing whether or not people feel comfortable with what you're doing. And sometimes in readings we do, you know, we can't do tea leaf readings over the phone.
Right.
But there's, you know, runes and there's tarot and there's pendulums and there's bone readings and,
right.
you know, all of these different things that can be utilized. And it's which ones do you do and which ones do your clients feel they get the most out of.
Right. Right. The follow-up question to that is who were your divination teacher or teachers?
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty fair question. And that, I feel, is even more important with a pagan leader or teacher who you are going to be taking classes from. Well, where did they learn this?
Right.
Is this something that they were taught? Does this have a lineage? Is this something that they made up? That's not to say if something is made up that it's not having value,
uh-huh.
but you should know that.
Right.
Going into it.
Right. Because obviously the dynamics of these are things that were brought to me by
right.
the group of ascended masters of blah.
Right.
Okay. That you have to make a decision if that
right.
feels right to you.
Right. And was this a download from the ascended masters yesterday and now I'm charging you $500 to take the workshop? Or is this a download from the Ascended Masters 10 years ago, and I've been doing the work to refine this concept for 10 years, and now I'm charging you $500 to take this workshop?
Right.
I mean, be clear. Lots of people get downloads. A lot of very famous leaders in the pagan community made their shit up.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's not valuable. But you want to know, did they make it up yesterday and now you're their guinea pig?
Mm-hmm.
Or have they refined this concept and now they have something of value to offer?
Right, right. So, and, you know, do you prescribe spiritual supplies for the people you read for? Meaning, do you, when you suggest them, do you have a place for them to buy or are you selling them?
Mm-hmm.
And that translates, obviously, when you deal with ritual workshops is what is it they're going to charge you to have? Do you have to have their specific wand? Do you have to have their,
right.
that kind of a situation?
Right. And, you know, if someone says, well, I do have this product, however, you can go and buy hyssop from the health food store. Mm-hmm. You know, they should be able to give you alternatives
yes.
to buying their things.
Exactly.
Right? The next question is, do you teach spell casting or do magical coaching with your reading clients? Ideally, someone should be willing to teach you,
mm-hmm.
right? This is not some secret information that we don't want other people to have.
Exactly. And, you know, this is, again, yes, we do. Yes, this is what's necessary. Here's how you do it. And, you go through the process. It's not just, okay, you do this and
right.
go away.
Right. And then we have, how and when did you first hear about hoodoo root work? So if you are looking for a root worker or someone in the hoodoo tradition, you would want to know where they learned about it and how they came into it.
Uh-huh.
If you're working with someone from Wicca or from a druid organization or from the reclaiming tradition
uh-huh.
or from a million other traditions, how did they get involved? When did they get involved? Who taught them?
Right.
These are important questions.
These are important to know the lineage. And how long are you professionally practicing, teaching, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to know the length of time. I just started yesterday.
Right.
If they are willing to say that, then you at least know they're honest.
Yeah.
That depends on whether you want to go with them,
mm-hmm.
Or they could say, I'm starting to charge now, but I've been doing this for 5 years, blah, blah, with, just
mm-hmm.
for friends and family.
Right. And there are lots of folks, especially in folk magic tradition,
mm-hmm.
who were taught by their families and never considered being a professional or doing this for money, that they always just did it for their friends or family, and then something shifted. And now they're making this their profession.
Right.
Or now they're starting to take clients or whatever.
Right.
So just because someone was not professional and you're their first client doesn't mean they're not skilled and they don't know what they're doing. But you need to know.
You right.
should be willing to ask that question.
Right.
Right?
Right. And, what are some of the other things? Well, the other one is, can you provide me with any references from among your clients? That usually is, that again means finding the people, because clients like their privacy.
Right.
So there are certain clients that will say, oh, I'd be happy to be,
right.
A reference. And you can ask them if they will when you're working with them as a professional. And that way you can, as the client, ask for these, because you'll know that these people are ones that have been, they're happy, they're sad, they're whatever.
Right. There's a lot of questions that we don't, and some of them are very similar in
yeah.
vein, so I'm
yeah.
kind of skimming through, but here's another one. Do you work according to the precepts of a particular religion, and if so, which one? I think that's a very important question to ask, because if you are a devout Christian practitioner,
huh?
you may not want to hire me to do work for you, because I don't work with the Christian
uh-huh.
gods.
Uh-huh.
I work with gods of other traditions, and
right.
I can work with angels or saints or from that side, but if you really want Jesus' influence on your work,
right.
I might not be the right person for you. So making sure someone is in your religion
uh-huh.
and practices within those precepts or is flexible
right.
is an important question, and that's true for a teacher of paganism
uh-huh.
and witchcraft. What deities do they work with?
Uh-huh.
Some traditions have taken up Lucifer as the light bringer.
Uh-huh.
I'm not interested in that. So if you're joining a coven that works with Lucifer as the light bringer, are you okay with that?
Uh-huh.
You know, you want to know these things.
Actually, after watching the TV show Lucifer, I might. He's pretty cool. Add levity to this.
Always.
So, some of the things that you do, can be pictures. We were talking about that at the beginning, of providing pictures of mm-hmm. via the work you're doing. And both Phoenix and I both worked at the location of the church, and not only do you do candle readings, and we email them to people, so a lot of times we will do the same thing with the work that we do. We
right.
may email them, how did it go, what
right.
was the impression, what did we get while we were doing the ritual, the candle we checked on, burn, flicker, these are things, along with any pictures of the work. Obviously, the question comes is, when you're doing ritual and you start taking photographs, is that really a ritual?
Right.
because you're disengaging from
right.
the ritual. And in some ways, that may be something you feel you would rather have somebody who just does the ritual and
right.
tells you about it afterwards.
Right, right. And that's, again, to ask about the spiritual and religious background of the practitioner you
mm-hmm.
may be working with
mm-hmm.
to make sure that the way they work and what your needs are to feel comfortable are in alignment.
Right.
You need to feel comfortable and confident with the person that you're working with, whether that's someone for hire or a reader or a root worker or a spiritual teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be comfortable and confident in what they're going to do for you.
Right, right. So I think that in terms of the resource, this is a very good base.
Absolutely.
Definitely
start. Check it out.
Yes.
On the AIR website.
Definitely. And reading the Code of Ethics, because it, I mean, like any place that has a mission statement, we obviously know what we are part of, but the people that work with us may only be looking in a specific area. It says love and I need this, or money and I need this.
Right. Definitely.
So, you know, out of desperation.
Yeah.
So give them the time to research it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Looks like it's time for our little break.
Oh, my goodness. So soon.
And we'll be back to talk about
sexual
initiation. You're listening
to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Roar Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. With more.
With more. And this next piece is really, I think, where the controversy comes into play, right?
Yes.
Because in the pagan community, for the most part, we like to believe that we are sex positive and we are comfortable with nudity and we are okay with myriad sexual orientations and genders and sexuality and all of the things that the overculture finds uncomfortable and awkward and unsavory to discuss in public.
Right.
Right. We like to wave our freak flags high.
That's it.
Right?
No problem.
And with sex positivity, there is a shadow to sex positivity because there is, and we've all been raised in this culture,
mm-hmm.
so no matter how much we want to say we are not affected by it, we are.
Yes.
And I'm speaking through this section, as we talk about these concepts, I want to be really clear. I'm only talking about how I feel. I do not represent anyone else, including Elvira. I do not represent any tradition. This is Phoenix speaking only about Phoenix's opinions, because I have some.
And since we have free speech, we can do that. And obviously, as long as it's understood that this section of our show is our personal opinion and that is not reflecting anything, anyone other than our own personal opinion. So,
right. So here's the deal. There is a topic in the pagan community. There is a concept. There is a rumor and a whispering of sexual initiation.
Uh-huh.
And when you start digging into it and you start doing some research and you start looking for, okay, who are these traditions that do sexual initiation, what you actually come to discover is most of them don't.
Right.
Most traditions don't have a sexual initiation. Most traditions don't require the new covenor to have sex with the high priest or the high priestess. Most of them, that's not happening.
Right.
This is more rumor and mystery and suspicion than anything else.
It's an allure.
Yes.
It is like glamour.
And I think probably in the 60s and the 70s, this was something that was happening a lot more.
Right.
But as we've grown as a tradition and as paganism has sort of found its roots again, this is not something that's as common.
Right.
But in my opinion, I don't think sexual initiation is ever a good idea, especially for someone who is brand new, because no matter what, it is a power over situation. And what I mean is, I'm new, I've never practiced witchcraft before, I'm so super excited, I know this is my path, I've had a calling, the goddess has tapped me on the shoulder, I found this coven, I love the people in this group, I feel so at home and so comfortable with them. And I speak as a female-bodied person right now, and the high priest has told me we're going to have a sexual initiation, and the only way I can become involved with this coven is to have sex with him in a ritual, and I am okay with that, and I am comfortable with that, and I am excited about it, and it's going to be a beautiful mystery that will be revealed to me. Even when you come into the possibility with your eyes wide open, you know exactly what you're in for. The bottom line is that high priest has power, and you are looking to him as someone who has power that you don't have. You are not coming into that situation as equals. And for me, that doesn't feel good. That feels icky.
Mm-hmm.
That gives one person power over the other person, even if that person comes into it willingly. And with sexual initiation, and there's this website, paganactivist.com, and this is a blog by Shauna Ora Knight, and I want to make sure I'm correct. Yes, Shauna Ora Knight's blog, The Pagan Activist. And she wrote a blog about sexual initiation, consent, and rape in the pagan tradition. And it's a really great blog. I highly recommend it. But she asks some really hard questions here about sexual initiation. So I'm going to read them. Are you okay with that?
I'm fine with it.
Interrupt me because I'm...
Oh, no. You're on a roll. I love it.
Soapboxes. So here's one of the headings of Shauna's, of her blog post. What are the logistics of sexual initiation? And I'm reading directly from this blog. I have found I have a lot of questions. I've heard various stories from various people about the requirements, but some things aren't discussed at all. And here we go into bullet points. First bullet point, does it have to be heterosexual sex? Does everyone get tested beforehand? Can condoms be used? Can birth control of any type be used? If a woman gets pregnant by accident, is she expected to have the baby? Who has to orgasm for it to work? Does it only work if the male orgasms? Does the initiation fail if the female party cannot achieve orgasm? What happens if the female can't orgasm from intercourse? How long do you have for the sex? 10 minutes? 10 hours? Are people watching, or is this private? Are the initiates pressured to cheat on their partner if that partner isn't open? How many people feel pressured to be initiated?
These are very, very tough questions.
Right.
Yeah.
So even if everyone's coming into it with eyes wide open and everyone is comfortable and everyone's okay, you still have these questions because there's rumor and story and belief and sensitivity about some of these questions. You know, the belief is in sex magic's a thing and it's a beautiful thing and it's powerful and amazing and wonderful. But the sex magic is about raising energy, and you raise energy to the point of orgasm. Orgasm is the culmination of that energy. So whose orgasm counts?
Right.
Does the two people have to orgasm at the same time? Anyone who's had sex with anyone knows how difficult that is.
Yes.
Right?
Right. So do you keep going if you just don't get that till you get the time where it actually
happens? Together? Right?
Right.
This is a whole big thing. And, and you know, here we're there's a bit of a patriarchal questioning here because does it have to be heterosexual sex? Is it okay for two men or two women to have the sexual initiation? Especially in Wicca, it's very binary. It's very high priest to female covenor and high priestess to male covenor. It's very binary. How do you work around people who don't fit into a binary either sexually or from a gender perspective?
Right.
So for me, I feel like it's just better not. if you want to use sex magic, you want to do things from a sexual, magical perspective, that's a whole different concept, and that the potential of that is two people coming together as equals.
Right.
Not two people coming together where I am going to bestow something upon you with my magical phallus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just feels yucky.
Right. And, again, we look at the process of, is this something, when things were put together, we were in the time of free love.
Right.
All right. You know, partners and everybody, it's all out there. And as it began to settle down and things began to get less in that extravagant, far-reaching, I mean, it's still out there, but less of that, I think what you see is that process not being as necessary, and we begin to see different things come to pass as ways to take the same process. And, you know, quite frankly, we haven't even gone into masturbation.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right.
It's all of these things that become part of it, and it's I had actually talked to some people, and one of the individuals had mentioned, well, I would have done this, you know, when I was younger, because mm-hmm. I was thinking that this would be the case, but I was busy in another area, and looking now at what that would have been like, I would have felt that I was taken, you know, that mm-hmm. it would have been a taking advantage of, it would have been exactly what we're talking about, power over.
Right.
Process,
right?
And it's because you don't know any better,
right?
When you're going through it, you're in that, dare I say it, moment,
right?
And I understand how we all do that. I've certainly been one to do things in the moment, out in the world, taking off for, you know, parts unknown.
Sure.
But truthfully, this is a completely different thing, I think, than taking a trip at a moment's notice.
Right.
This is something that will live with you and your body
mm-hmm.
and your emotions
mm-hmm.
forever.
Right. And I'm going to say something that may be offensive or controversial, and I understand that. But if you look at the many founders of Neo-Wicca, of Wicca, of Neo-Paganism, a lot of these people are men.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something about older men taking advantage of younger women and looking to be lecherous
mm-hmm.
and doing it from the guise of, I am a high priest and I have something to offer you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's total crap.
It also likens itself to, again, more established religions.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm going to say this, Christianity, there has to be an intercessor between you and the divine, and that intercessor knows is the priest.
Right.
That is where you have that. Of course, that opens a whole other problem over there, which we won't open. But it is the same concept of that power structure.
Right.
And if you're talking about priests, we're talking about males, we're talking about the process that it just sort of moves right over to the next thing. That doesn't mean, and I'm going to have to say this too to be fair, that if you're doing a Dionic tradition and it comes to that same issue,
mm-hmm.
that it might not be a female pressuring
mm-hmm.
another female
sure.
to participate
sure.
in being part of the divine.
And the reality is, if you start researching this topic and you start reading stories and you start reading folks who are talking about not only their process of sexual initiation, but what they've heard or learned from talking to other people, sometimes there are lots of high priests and high priestesses out there who do sexual initiation, and they are amazing and beautiful and reputable and wonderful people, and they never pressure anyone. However,
uh-huh.
the other coveners may be pressuring you.
Uh-huh.
You know, as a newbie, as a new initiate, someone who really wants to get involved, oh, just do it, just do it. It's no big deal. It'll be fine. It's amazing. It's a beautiful experience. That pressure,
mm.
any time you are pressured into sex, that is not full consent. That is power over. And
exactly.
it's not okay in the pagan tradition. Absolutely not. And there's a quote I'm going to read, and this comes from Gavin and Yvonne Frost, and I don't want to speak ill of the dead. Gavin Frost has recently died. He is a rather well-known teacher, mm-hmm. especially in modern paganism in the United States. And he's said some pretty disgusting things about sexual initiation. And when he was called on them later in life, he stood by his statements. He didn't say, oh, well, that was a different time and I wouldn't do that anymore. He was like, no, yeah, that's how it should be. I'm going to read this quote. This is from Gavin Frost. The underlying tradition here is sometimes overlooked. If the craft means enough to you that you are willing to abide by its tenets, then abide by them. If you cannot transcend your cultural brainwashing and accept the assignment to have sex one time with an assigned partner in accordance with centuries of craft tradition, the craft can't mean that much to you. Here's the door. Don't call yourself a witch. End quote. And I can agree to some of that. Have we all been culturally brainwashed around sexuality? Hell yes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially women. Are we fucking wounded about our overculture around our sexuality and our bodies?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes. That is true. But the thing in this quote that peeves me right the heck off is if you can't just do this thing one time in accordance with centuries of craft tradition, that is complete and utter bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
This is not centuries of craft tradition.
Right.
People have not been having sexual initiation for centuries. There is no proof to that. That this started in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. This is not thousands of years of cultural tradition. Bullshit. I call bullshit. I call it.
You got it.
Sorry, I'm getting super pissed off. Later.
Which is okay. I'm watching. This is so wonderful. And the energy on this side of the table over there is wow.
I lose my shit over stuff like this. I just got to take it.
Because it's insulting.
Yes.
It's insulting. It's insulting to us as women. It's insulting to the tradition of witchcraft.
Yes.
And the goddess.
Yes.
I mean, I personally have not had that happen to me, but then I have, I guess, in my own quest have found other things to go through and find and gotten to where I'm at. But I am horrified by the fact that someone would dictate something of that nature and then utilize a statement that could not be, it cannot be backed up.
No. No, and how dare you say don't call yourself a witch? You don't have to be in a religion. You don't have to be a Wiccan. You don't have to be a gardenerian to call yourself a witch.
No.
You could be a kitchen witch. You could be a gardening witch. You can be call yourself a witch, damn it. We need more witches in this world.
Yes, definitely.
You know, that whole thing just peeves me off so freaking much, and it's just, yes, cultural brainwashing is a thing. And yes, the way we approach sexuality in our overculture and in the bigger world out there, it's messed up. It's a messy, ugly thing.
Uh-huh.
And in paganism, we try to do it a little bit better. In the witchcraft world, we try to do it a little bit better. But this stuff here, this is not better.
No. No.
It's
feeding into the process, but it's also, it's also the situation that we deal with, whether if you take tantric sex, if you take the concept of what that is, and then you go, that's unbroken lineage there. And if you take that energy and go, if we take the essence of that process and we put it over here where we have this broken piece of machinery that we don't know how all of this happened, and we put it together with this, then we've got this better continuity. That's a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But making it a demand and making it a point of reference as a criteria.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, get over yourself.
Right.
I mean,
No,
not okay.
No, and I want to be clear, too. If you are a heightened sexual being and a sexual initiation sounds amazing and you want to go out now and find a group that does that and you're into it, wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Just be clear about what you're doing and be clear about the power dynamics of the situation.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it's not okay. I'm not saying if you've been through it, then you're screwed up in some way. Not at all. I just am completely against it being a requirement or throwing this on an unsuspecting person who may be brand new to this whole concept of witchcraft. And you say, well, if you're not willing to have sex with me right now, then you're not really devoted. That is coercion.
Of course it is.
That
becomes,
okay.
And then you have to get to the point of reference of, unconsciously, this person's a predator.
Exactly. And that's really what this whole show has been about.
Mm-hmm.
The watching out for the people who are predators, for the people who are trying to take advantage of you financially, sexually, spiritually,
emotionally,
and avoiding those
yes.
people.
Yes.
If you go to a coven open ritual, if you go to a class or a workshop and you feel uncomfortable, if someone makes you feel like you don't belong, if there's something that goes against the grain of who you are, and things should push your edges. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to grow as spiritual beings. So, yes, you should be having your edges pushed, but not to the point of abuse.
Right.
If anything like that starts to bubble up, if you feel you're being taken advantage of, then go, leave. There are other groups out there.
Right, including the fact that if you're talking about bondage, scourging,
yeah.
you know, things that are, quote, ceremonial, you know, you think about what those mean.
Right. And if you are, if that's going to trigger you to a point where you emotionally can't handle it, then that may not be the tradition for you. Go find a tradition that doesn't scourge.
Right.
It is okay.
Yeah, it is. And I think that when you get discernment into the situation is when you are able to actually hold the energy of the goddess.
Right.
Because then you've made a discernment about what it
yeah.
is.
And the goddess, the bondage or not accepting the
exactly.
bondage. Either way, it's okay.
Yes.
As long as you are eyes wide open.
That's it. And, you know, this is, as we say, this is a very hot subject. It has many different places to go. And obviously we're not here to start any kind of fist fight with it.
No.
We are just saying that the process has to be addressed
yeah.
in a manner that says you need to be aware, and be aware even in the fact that you make these conscious decisions, you still are going to have effects down the road. We all do.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
It's like relationships that you have. You love this person. You think they're great. You find out that they're really weird and they have moods.
And now it's too late.
Now it's too late. Then you get out of it, and so you're really, you know, scarred with the, you know, you don't want someone who's a moody, you know, SOB. So you back away from. Okay, and we kind of come to that point. So it's the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that hour flew by.
Well, when you're excited about something and passionate.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a few seconds left, and
uh-huh.
next week we'll be talking about Samhain.
Oh, my goodness.
And all of the delicious Samhain-y goodness things that there are to talk about with that beautiful holiday.
Yes, and I will have a revelation about pumpkins.
Hey, I like that.
I know, to come.
Yeah, so beloved dead and more.
Yes, yes. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like, Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine. If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.